You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
John, are you a heat guy?
Heat guy. In what sense?
Do you take spice well?
No, well, my wife does. My wife likes really spicy food. I figured out a long time ago that because I talk for a living, and on some days I talk for like 7 hours, that I need to be very careful what goes in and how it
sure.
might come out. If you know what
I
mean.
Want to be in the middle of a Lakers game.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, I just ate all those ghost peppers.
Yeah, yeah. Like Michael Damn. Thompson's coming in today.
Halftime can't get here soon
he's
enough.
He's so nervous he won't eat before a game.
Yeah, that's right.
For
he
that
never
exact
does.
Reason.
Yeah.
He's always
he
talking
will,
about on the broadcast, going in and out on his
yeah,
way out.
He will always eat after the game, or he'll eat in the morning.
And yet he does eat during the game.
Just
he eats chips.
Only chips with Coke.
And ironically, yeah. he's so worried about this affecting him during a broadcast, but during a pregame, he'll just wander off during the middle of the show. Michael will just wander off, start
talking. He's got people to go say hi to.
Yeah. Slee, true?
Oh, he's
verified.
Michael. Michael's schedule is... By the way, and if he is there, what's one of the funniest things? I don't know what it is. You know, like let's use during football season, right? He'll have in the background, or we'll have one of the TVs. We'll have NFL Network on or something like that. There's great games. You got another hour and a half before the Laker game starts. I swear he has never been able to log into his NFL Network. He's just spending all the time trying to log into it. So yeah, he will venture.
There will be times like, you know, I think we've all done pregame with Michael at some point. Like if it's a road
actually, I think that's weird, but yes, all four of us have done pregame with Michael.
And if Trav was sitting here, Sedano would be doing
way,
it.
Wait a minute. I listened at 10 o'clock today and Travis was here.
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, what happened? Did he get pepper appointment?
did not have a
ghost pepper. He just wasn't feeling well. So even when we were doing a prep, he's like, I don't know if I feel real good. So AK came in. So he basically hung around for the first half hour until AK came.
Gave everyone COVID and then left.
And that, it's funny. He had a mask on coming in. I'm like,
I changed
AK,
out my mic sleeve. Right. I wiped it down.
Well, you just are getting over a battle with it, right?
Yeah, I had about a month and a half ago.
Wait a minute, seriously, that wasn't.
No. It was like
digestive,
more like dizziness and stuff like that.
Blurred vision.
Stuff that
what?
Had.
What
that
is
was,
he should go to.
Well, I think he's going.
He's
to
got
go.
Blurred vision,
and he drove and from here to Orange County.
I asked him about that. I was like, "Are you sure you can do this?"
He said he. Woke
I'm in the
up.
Left lane. Is it the right or left lane?
I'm the right lane.
Two of everything.
He said he woke up feeling that way, but you're right. Just that's a little bit of a drive coming up here.
Blurred vision, and what's the other symptom?
Dizziness.
Dizziness.
Yeah.
Perfect for driving.
Admit him.
Yeah.
He said he felt off.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you made it, Andy.
Yeah. Okay, so I got a question. So Funches, for the first time, will be going into a all-inclusive resort.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So he's doing this starting on Saturday. I think he's out there for 6 days. There's good and bad to these.
Yes, there are.
Have you guys both done
once?
I have. I have been to multiple
few
okay.
times.
You're is it something you like when you go plan a trip? Like he'll be in Cancun is where he's going.
Yes.
Do you say, hey, I want to go?
Are you going
to
Sandals?
No.
Okay.
No.
He's going to go to all inclusive. Never done it before.
Wait, honeymoon.
Do you like doing it or do you prefer not being?
I'm not. Here's the problem with going to an all inclusive.
There's definitely positives and negatives.
There,
I agree.
There is a lot of food available to you at
seven
times.
Meals a day,
and no matter where you go, there's a buffet. There's shrimp.
Yeah.
There's burgers. There's tacos.
Love
like
it.
It's all there. And now you're a really skinny guy, so you can deal with it.
I cannot.
I cannot deal with just an open buffet table to me 24 hours.
It's like
a day.
An open bar, but with food.
But food, exactly.
And some of them all inclusive include alcohol and everything else.
Yeah. Yep. Does yours include alcohol, Funch?
Yes, it does. Yes,
oh,
it does.
Yeah. See, I'm not a drinker, as the folks at Clearman's Galley will tell you.
Yes. The one I did, the all inclusive I did, was a cruise. It was a Disney cruise.
Oh, nice.
That my grandparents brought our whole family on. Said, no excuses, everybody's showing up.
Oh, that's nice.
So this was in the 90s. And it was set up exactly the way yours is set up. And let's just say that my cousin Suzanne and I had a Bahama Mama in our hands, which is basically like a pina colada. We had a Bahama Mama in our hands from the time we woke up until the time we left the casino at 1 in the morning for 4 straight days. And get ready to drink, because it is a big...
So do you guys think I'll be like lying face down in a pool by like noon or something?
No, because...
Do not lie face down in a pool.
No. If, what yeah. you can By do the way, this you is can go pass
good
out,
advice for everybody.
You can go pass out at the pool.
Yeah.
You know, just...
Just no not in it.
Right.
Funch, you'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll like
it. You'll be fine.
Yeah,
hopefully so.
I think you'll have fun.
Yeah, no, it'll be great. And the free, it's hard. Now, that's not the best alcohol in the world. That is not top shelf stuff. That is, you know, and then they've got well drinks, and then they've got something underneath well drinks, and that's what you're actually going to be getting at your inclusive.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I've only done it one time, all inclusive. Mace, what you just said, that's the problem. The problem is we went to a restaurant. So there were, I think, 3 restaurants on site. Went to one restaurant. We're like, oh, just eat a little bit here. And then when we're done, we'll go try the other restaurants. I don't even know why that's the game plan. We had a full meal there, and then we're going to have another full meal. Like, just because everything is in front of you, you're eating and drinking as if...
Do you remember the show, Louis C.K. show on FX, Louis? He had it for a while.
I never saw it. I remember it, though.
I mean, the issues with Louis notwithstanding, right. It was a great show. But they had this thing that they talked about on the show called a bang bang, which was when you would eat 2 full meals in direct succession of each other. Like, you would go from one restaurant, full meal, directly to the second restaurant.
Who the hell does a bang bang?
Well, I got one better.
Louis and his friends.
So one time, there's a company, a production company, that produced, when the Laker games were on KCAL, they produced the games for KCAL. Jeff Proctor, who you know, Mace.
Jeff, great
and
guy.
And his partner, Steve Rangel, started a company called Pro Angle. Still exists. They still do tons of sports. And so Steve was with us on a trip once, and we're in San Antonio. We're on the Riverwalk. He's going to kill me for telling this story, but it's very funny. And we're on our way to Boudreaux's, which is a big steakhouse on the Riverwalk in San Antonio. And we're all, you know, we flew in that day. Nobody ate on the plane. Everybody's really geeked up to go to Boudreaux's, get a big steak. And we walk by a Baskin-Robbins, and I'm with Rangel, and he goes, hold on a second. And he ducks into the Baskin-Robbins. He comes out. He's got a giant ice cream cone. And we're on our way.
3 scoops.
They're like, big. And I'm like, you know, we're on our way to dinner, and we're going to a steakhouse. What are you doing? And in completely honest, he goes, take a look at me. He goes, I'm middle-aged. I'm not skinny. He said, I walk by an ice cream place. I don't know if it's going to be the last time I ever see it. I'm taking advantage of it. And I thought, what a great attitude to live. And he wolfed down the whole ice cream. Then he ate a whole steak. Then he had dessert.
You got to stop and smell the rocky road.
His attitude was, don't know when I'm going to walk by an ice cream place again anytime soon. I'm jumping on it.
So Mace, AK said that he had a situation, I don't know how many years ago it was.
Is this the Ray's Hell situation?
No, but that's pretty funny.
I love that.
That's
I love
pretty
that
funny,
bit,
too.
Yeah.
Okay, so he said that you guys were once doing a show together.
Me and Andy?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the old Steve Mason show.
Mason.
So you guys are talking about the Cowboys? Yes. Cowboys get brought up
it was
or something
when,
like
it
that?
It was during the era when Tony Romo was very controversially dating Jessica Simpson.
Oh, right. And I remember this.
And everybody thought that he was distracted. Remember, there were the vacation photos during a bye week
of
a playoff. Bye week,
exactly.
Right.
AK's wife has come up a couple different times today. And every one of them makes me like AK's wife even another level.
Tell me.
So I guess she calls into the show. Do you remember this?
Oh, Mason doesn't remember what happened yesterday.
I remember this.
There is no way he remembers this.
Well, yeah, I remember. I have done a million shows in my career. I do not remember
We had an interview we replayed at Rams Camp the other day that we did with Vin Scully in his final year, and Mason had no recollection of it.
Yeah, I didn't recall doing that.
And
I'm glad that I did.
Vin Scully for 12 minutes.
But he rarely did interviews,
correct.
By the way.
But here's the beauty of it. I got to hear it for the first time, and it was a great
But anyway,
interview.
I hijacked your story.
No. So I just, AK says that his wife calls in, and by the time the conversation is
Anna,
over.
Anna, right? Yeah, Anna, yes.
And she's upset because of the Cowboys and whatever the conversation.
And Romo,
is she a Cowboy fan?
Massive.
Okay. Mm. And by the time the conversation's over and she hangs up, you tell AK,
yeah, she's much better than you on radio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I will tell you, I will tell you this. Ethan, Brian's son, has been way better than Brian's ever been.
Are
every
you
time
the
we've
guy
had
who does the dance
yeah, we
party
still play
the hoedown
drop
on
when
your
talks
phone?
About Bergman. He goes, hey, aren't you the guy that plays a dance party hoedown on your phone?
Your phone.
Your yeah, phone.
We, hey, aren't you the guy who does the Lakers dance party hoedown on your phone?
Hoedown on your phone. Yeah, so it runs in your family, just not necessarily between you and Brian all the time.
I know, that's the problem.
Now, did you get out of your fantasy football dilemma, or is that still ongoing?
No, actually, I got to say,
He moved the anniversary.
Did you take my advice and say tell Anna you wanted to celebrate your anniversary the night before?
I brought that up as a possibility. We have not settled into yet what we're going to do, but she took it extremely well. She really recognized.
I think it's because you offered to do something big actually before.
Did you not offer? We hadn't even gotten that far.
Okay.
I just explained to her what happened.
I messed up. I booked up our fantasy football drafts on the night of our anniversary.
That it really was an honest mistake, and she understood that. And she knows that I'm typically pretty good with this stuff and with calendars
in general. Yeah.
And she just said, it's fine. We'll figure out something else. She didn't even say it in a way that was like, but you're paying big on this.
Yeah.
Like, she genuinely understood.
She still might.
She's saving it.
Oh, she still might.
Yeah. No, she's going to call in the Jets at some point.
You.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, so today, John, I don't know if you heard this or not, but they were talking about roller skating, like disco roller skating.
Yeah.
And I used to do that every Friday night, Ohio Skate. That was a really
big
deal.
Midwest
I had my first kiss on roller skates,
adding
to the degree of difficult. Thank you, Lori Cope. Wonderful girl.
Now, were you going forwards or backwards?
I believe I was trying to hold steady
side
at the time.
Side by side.
But remember the couple skates? That was like a big thing.
Oh,
what's going on? A couple skate.
That was serious.
Oh, that if you went on a couple skate, that actually meant something.
Mm-hmm.
That meant something. And then at your place, it was apparently like the movie Rollerball, which I was trying to, you guys were trying to come up with the name, but it was Rollerball.
And there was, I swear there was like an actual show too. Like there was like a competition where they're having it. I know you mentioned the movie.
Yeah.
But you're basically in war.
Yes.
In your
they would play this song called Raise a Little Hell by a group called Trooper. I think they were a one-hit wonder. And they warned you during this song, anything goes. Like, you are allowed to trip people. You're allowed to run them over. You're allowed to shove them. And when I was about 9 years old, when I was skating, song.
Hit somebody.
Somebody,
I love how this is the song that got everyone crazy.
Yeah, well, they took it literally.
It's a good song. I like it.
Somebody picked me up and threw me over the wall. You know, like the roller rink wall.
Yeah.
Somebody, like, literally, I was in the air flying over this wall.
At age nine.
Totally legal.
Hey,
I knew what I was getting into when I got on that roller rink.
And by the way, John, then Sliwa said he doesn't do anything well with wheels under his feet.
And then you
threw out
snowboarding
and skiing, and I just have not seen the wheels. Maybe there are wheels there, but
ice skating too, which doesn't have wheels.
Oh, ice
skating,
no wheels either.
So I remember,
you guys really have to look under.
There are wheels there. Okay.
So one time I'm working man in the stands at an Angel game, and I'm interviewing Bruce Jenner, who's at the game, and somebody comes up to him and goes, points at him and goes, "Can't stop the music." And I went, "Can't stop the music? What's he talking about?"
Oh, God, great movie.
Okay, Jenner is in this movie, apparently, that is the...
Yeah.
It starts the village people, and it involves...
Bruce Jenner.
It involves
Valerie Perrine.
Right, it involves roller skating at some point.
It's directed, weirdly, by an actress, a sitcom actress named Nancy Walker. I can't remember who she actually played.
But I had never heard of this movie, and I went to... I go, "People walk up to you?" He goes, "At least once a day."
Yeah.
Apparently, it's got this huge...
I'm looking
following.
It up right now.
It's this great big misguided disco. Let's throw in the decathlon winner and the village people.
It is a very cocaine 80s pitch movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
This is back when everybody in Hollywood
I got an idea. We got the village people,
and
we'll get Bruce Jenner
in the movie, and
a lot of roller skating.
I like Valerie Perrine for the other role.
Yeah. It's a pretty insane movie. It's described on IMDb. As a pseudo autobiography of Disco's The Village People. And they are front line of this poster.
Oh, yeah.
They are front and center of
this
poster.
What year was that movie? Do you have it in front of you? 77?
1980.
So it was
4 years after he won the gold medal.
By the way, and that was also, disco was dying, fading in 1980, so they really didn't hit it right.
You know who else is in this movie? Hmm. A little actor called Steve Guttenberg.
The Steve Gutenberg.
Yeah, he had a window there around the time of Cocoon. Three Men and a Baby.
Short Circuit.
Yeah.
He owned Police Academy.
He was Tom Hanks for about 10 years.
Tom Hanks of terrible movies.
I'm going going tonight to the Dodger game.
Oh, nice. And
only because, okay, where is the...
You have a desire to see the Minnesota Twins for some reason?
I know. The only... At one point, it was, hey, Mason goes to a game, they're going to lose. Is that over?
The Mason curse.
That's way over.
That's been over for a
while.
While,
though, it was a thing.
Okay, so
I went
to one Rams game last year. They played the Titans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that was a terrible game.
Terrible game.
Yeah, terrible game. We got clocked.
End of the third quarter. I'm like,
well, you know that,
time to go home.
That one time Kevin Demoff had Mace say, whose house? Rams house at the Coliseum. And it was the game that Tampa Bay came in and Jameis Winston threw for 500 yards. Yeah. And the Rams just got boat raced. And Demoff will not let it go. Like anytime. The other day we're at Rams camp. Mace goes, hey, I just want to play catch with either like John Wolford or Matthew Stafford or some. And Demoff's like, what's in it for us? Because the last time we gave you the keys to the kingdom, you just screwed us. Like he will not let it go.
Yeah, I said it's a dream of mine. And he said, your dream is our nightmare.
Yeah, and wait a minute. So, Slee, though, aren't the Dodgers riding a nine-game win streak?
Game.
Oh, so if they lose tonight, then you got to stay away with us.
That's basically what people are saying. It's like, look, Dodgers are playing this good. You're picking the game where they've won nine in a row.
Yeah.
Going for 10.
If they would lose a Tuesday night game or Wednesday night game to the Twins, then you got to stay away.
Allen was taking the torch from Mace, who took the torch from Max Kellerman.
Oh, that's right. Kellerman.
Yeah, there was a Kellerman curse.
Destroyed teams in this city.
Oh, he did.
Like, and I definitely did not help the Lakers last year as well.
He arrived, and all of these great teams, like the Lakers fell apart. I think that's around when USC went on probation.
Yep,
like,
USC went on
Kellerman
probation.
Kellerman destroyed the entire city.
Destroyed the entire LA sports landscape.
Max left.
That's right.
Max left, and Lakers won. Dodgers won.
It really was as simple as boot Kellerman.
Yeah. All right. Mason Island coming up next. Stay right here.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tupac, whatever works.
I still got to see. I got my chain in the car. I forgot to bring it in. I'm gonna wear it around like a name tag.
Like it.
Yeah. So
I got home. I didn't say anything. I just walked in with it on, and she goes, "What the hell?" I go, "I'm wearing this to Idaho, and I'm not answering any questions about it. I'm just going to walk in wherever we go and see if anyone makes reference to it."
Are you actually going to do this? Like, will you actually do that?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's Idaho. What difference does it make?
It's Lisa's family. It's Idaho. I mean, it seems pretty low impact.
I was going to give you some mythical money to do it, but if you're going to
No, you don't need to. It's easy.
That's a gimme. That's a gimme. That's amazing. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday, John, about, and this to me is sort of the heart of the show. Who's right more often? Who is right more often in predictions, in picking games, and suggesting trade? Who's right more often, you or me?
You miss a lot of game predictions.
So do you.
But
I would. What do you?
It's close.
What percentage do you think we are on being right, each of us?
I would say somewhere below 50%.
I agree.
Like 45.
We're in the 40s, which, by the way, is really...
Which is like, no, that's like professional gamblers are 45. So,
yeah, true. Bergman, what percentage do you think each of us is right?
See, so because John does so many parlays, his is going to be lower.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I'm the parlay king. I'm the defending mythical money champion.
You are the parlay king.
Yeah, the parlays are really bad.
Well, all I can say is scoreboard. Who won last year?
What's up, players?
You did. You did. I would say that John is right about 38% of the time.
Wouldn't surprise me if that was a good number.
35. John's right more often.
Yeah.
But here's the, wait a minute. We should be at least batting 50. These are guesses. No. Wait a minute.
All right, now let's
are just guesses.
Let's do a couple of things. Okay. All right. Let's put these things on record.
Okay.
Okay.
On record. Ready.
You have bet on both sides of this issue, so now I'm going to lock you down.
Okay.
Opening night for the Lakers. Is Russell Westbrook on the roster? Yes or no?
Yes. Don't I have more money on yes than no?
You do have more money on yes than no.
Yeah, that's what I think.
All right.
I'm going yes.
Just to be different, I'll go no. So there's a...
Whoa!
But I don't know anything. You could be right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do the Dodgers win the World Series? This year?
Yes. Easy bet for you. Just take the no.
They could get traded, but I actually think they are going to win it. Now, when they get there, I think they're going to play the Astros. Who do you think is coming out of the American League?
I'm going Yankees.
Okay.
I think they'll figure out their pitching between now and then.
All right. So there's two things we're different about.
Yeah, two things we're different about.
All right, one more.
Okay.
When I'm trying to think of predict the order of finish in the AFC West.
Whoa, that's tough. Order of
finish. I'll go first if you want.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yep.
Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos.
I'm going Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders.
Okay. So there you go.
How dare you?
I mean, how dare me? It's a really tough division. Really tough division.
I think the NFC West is easier.
Much easier, yeah.
That's Rams, Niners, Cardinals, Seahawks.
And Seahawks, yeah. Right? That's a gimme. That's a gimme. I people don't turn to us to be right, do they? They're not expecting us to be right all the time. We're just
guessing.
Well,
nobody is.
Yeah, nobody
is. Nobody is.
Nobody is. All right, so last night Dodgers win again. They're continuing their role now. Padres, did you see how the Padres lost?
Well, they won on a Machado walk-off.
On a Machado walk-off, yeah. But
Josh Hader blew a big lead before he did it. Yeah.
Josh Hader was not having a great year going into this trip.
He was having a good year. He was having a bad stretch. Hey, look who's here.
MT busted into the studio.
Fresh off of his trip to the Bahamas.
His kid had a hit last night.
Yeah.
Well, did you see who was there, too?
Yeah.
Steph Curry. Now, it was relayed to me, Michael. I don't know if you've heard this story, but somebody told me that Steph got up to leave.
Yeah.
And Dave Roberts saw him because he was sitting near the dugout and relayed to somebody, hey, tell Steph not to leave. I'm about to put Trace in the game as a pinch hitter.
Ah,
so word got to Steph.
Yeah, nice.
And Steph stayed there and recorded it on his phone.
That's awesome.
And Trace doubled down the left field line. Now, were you there last night?
Oh, are you kidding me? I thought I missed the drive from San Clemente.
Yeah, well, you were there a couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago, yes.
I tweeted out your interview with Kirsten Watson. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was nice. She's a nice lady. Very professional. Very professional. She's unlike Mason.
Yeah, she is.
I pride myself on my unprofessionalism.
Yeah. She asked the tough questions, unlike you.
Oh, shut up. Ask the tough questions.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
That's right.
Well, it's so funny.
The Bahamian grill master.
Those Dodgers, though, huh? I don't know. I mean, I know the Mets are good. The Yankees are good. But I don't know who's going to beat this team. Walker Buehler's going to be back.
The Mets are the team that worries me.
Yeah, but Buehler's going to come back. Kershaw's going to be healthy in September.
We don't know that on either front.
We don't know. We hope. We hope Kershaw's back, and we hope Walker Buehler's back. Mm. Although, I'll tell you what, who would start game one right now if we didn't have Kershaw
how do you say his name?
Urias. I wouldn't have a problem with Gonsolin or Anderson. They've both been great this year.
But I think Julio Urias, given his big game experience, would be great as a starter. Would you start Urias or would you start Kershaw?
Is Kershaw healthy?
Yeah, let's say Kershaw's healthy.
Got to go with him.
Yeah, because the question is, who do you want available in a game 7 if you need it? And I'd want Kershaw. So whoever you pitch in game one has a higher probability of being available in a game seven.
And he's got over the playoff jinx, right? He already won a series.
He did.
Pitching well.
Went 2-0 in the World Series.
There you go.
Last
year. See, that's behind him.
Yeah. So hopefully,
but
hopefully
these Dodgers,
he's fine.
Man, my God, they just throw. Now looks like
nine
Muncy,
in a row.
Looks like Muncy and Bellinger just starting to get into a groove.
Yeah, Muncy starting to look good. Muncy homered last night.
Yeah, the overwhelming sentiment I get when I watch Dodger games this year. I cannot believe the Red Sox traded Mookie Betts. They had him.
Yeah, well, they didn't want to pay him, right?
Right, but if you're not going to pay him, who are you going to pay?
Let me ask you guys a question. I said this on Twitter, and nobody really went back at me. I said, "Boy, which one is huh?"
I said,
"Yeah, which one is a more three-man formidable 1-2-3 punch? Betts, Freeman, and Turner, or Soto, Machado, and Tatis?"
Betts, Freeman, Turner.
This year, it's the Dodger guys.
But when Tatis is healthy.
Yeah, even when Tatis is, I'll take our guys.
Yeah.
I love Trey Turner. Trey Turner is such a great ball. I hope they extend Trey Turner.
Well,
find a way to do it.
It's up to Turner.
Yeah, but I mean, you throw $400 million at somebody.
$400?
Sure.
Well, that's,
Turner?
Soto turned it down.
Soto. We're talking about Trey Turner.
Trey Turner
might be better than Soto.
Top five MVP virtually every year.
$400, but isn't Turner like 31?
That's a good question. I don't
see if
it's
400
million is
going to be like a 10-year deal.
$400 million is probably high for a 30.
Although, okay, and we'll get to this next now that Michael's here, because the biggest story in sports right now is Turner's 29. Is what should the Nets do about Kevin Durant? And the question is, Mason and I, Michael, both think they should do nothing. They shouldn't trade him, make him come in. You've always felt the other way traditionally, but I'm curious what you're going to say next. Michael's in studio. He's got Game of Games today, and we got lots of stuff coming up.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey! Oh, today is National Duran Day.
Love Duran Duran.
Duran Duran used to come up with an album about every 6 weeks.
Yep.
Remember
that
one year they were just hungry like the wolf and just boom, every
Rio,
6 weeks, new album.
And I
like
love
the chauffeur. The chauffeur's one of my favorite songs.
The Reflex, great song.
Reflex is good. Yeah, they're great.
All right, so Michael Thompson has a joke
floating
around. I wasn't texted it, so I'm not in on this joke.
Because
he texted a bunch of people.
All right. So, I think you'll like it. My wife loved this joke. Others will think it's corny. Michael, what's the joke?
Yeah, I'll let Jorge and Mace see things. I said this to Sliwa, by the way. No response.
No response.
Not even L-A-L. Like, laugh a little.
Laugh a little is
good. He really is Mr. Spock. I'm just trying to get him to laugh. So, here you go. Mace is my test.
Yes.
To see if I'm funny or not.
Okay.
Guy goes into a bar and sees a tiny man playing the piano. So he asked the bartender about this piano player. The bartender said, yeah, that guy, he's a big attraction for the bar. The guy then asked the bartender, you know, where is the men's room? Bartender says, it's right around the corner, but let me warn you, there's a genie in there, and you better not wish for anything. Guy says, really, a genie? Oh, okay, yeah, I got it. So he goes into the men's room, Mace, and sure enough, when he comes out, there are ducks everywhere.
Ducks?
Ducks.
Okay.
They don't stop coming into the bar. The bartender is pissed. He says, you asked the genie for a wish, didn't you? You asked for $1 million, didn't you? The guy said, yeah, I guess I did. The bartender says, I told you not to ask the genie for anything. He's hard of hearing. Do you really think I wish for a 12-inch penis?
You couldn't even get the punchline out, Michael.
Mason's laughing a little.
I like it.
12-inch
pianist. 12-inch
pianist.
Yeah. Michael, I give that a...
You like that one?
I like that.
Okay.
You're
That's a little
guy,
bit of
Michael.
A handshake, a little...
One of those...
L-A-L for Mason.
L-A-L, but you got an L.
All right.
All right. So, Michael, you've always said, traditionally, and you said that Jerry West, one of your heroes in the business,
yes,
when you got traded to the Lakers, said, Michael, if you ever are unhappy here, if you want to leave, just tell me and I will get you out of here.
Right.
And you've always kind of stood behind that mentality. But now Kevin Durant has basically issued an ultimatum to the Nets. Either get rid of the coach and the GM or trade me. I don't want to play for those guys. What would you do if you were the Nets?
The Nets did the right thing trying to trade him, but the Nets' mistake, Mace, was they axed for too much. If KD was 26, 27, you can ax for the moon. But he's going to be 34.
Right.
So you can't
next month in September.
Yep. You can't give up half your team for a 34-year-old. And that's the mistake the Nets made. They could have moved him if they'd asked for, like, one good all-star player and a couple of picks. You can make a move. Say, like, for example, a Jaylen Brown, some first-round picks, and maybe throw in a, you know, another like a Derek White. You can get Kevin Durant for that. But the fact is the Nets saw what the Wolves paid for Rudy Gobert.
Yep.
I thought, well, we could get twice that much. Yep. And you're not going to get that for a 34-year-old Durant, as great as he is.
So, but what do the Nets do now?
I will still try to move him, but you got to lower the price. You got to you lower your expectations. You're not going to get back two All-Stars and six draft picks.
And, Mace, you're sticking to your side of it, which is go pound sand.
Go pound sand, man. I'm so tired of this.
Mace.
Seriously. There's a difference between player movement and just being a spoiled brat.
You're right. You're
it's
right.
Like, I want new crayons.
I want a new Palumpa now.
I want a new team. Mm. I want traded. It's like, grow up.
But, Mace. You're right about that, but there is a thing called team morale and locker room malaise. You don't want that in your locker room.
They had that last year. That was their
You don't want that in your locker room, no matter how good the player is. You'd be better off moving that player, that franchise player, for guys who want to be there and want to play hard.
What? And just play into oblivion, right? You trade Kevin Durant, you're not competitive.
No, you're not going to play for the
– you're not going to the finals.
No.
With Kevin Durant, you've got to – because Kevin Durant is, you know, an unbelievable scorer.
Yeah.
One of the best scorers in the league, if not the best.
But you got a disgruntled as opposed to a gruntled employee. And any business you were in, you were a boss.
Yep.
You know, if you have disgruntled employees, that's not a good business atmosphere. Am I right?
Michael, what happened with Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers, I went traded. You drafted a quarterback. You didn't get me a wide receiver. That's it. And you know what the Green Bay Packers told him? Play.
Yeah.
Just play. You've made a commitment. Just play. Kevin Durant is not going to go on the court and embarrass himself by playing badly next year.
Okay, speaking of embarrassing yourself.
Thank you.
Did you guys see the introductory press conference for Rob Walton, the guy who bought the Denver Broncos?
Yes. Now, this Walton family, all that stuff.
You know, Stan Kroenke's married to a Walmart heiress. Mm-hmm. That's who Bergman's looking for, an heiress.
Yes, sir, Ebo.
Now.
Did they compare piggy banks?
Yeah, I would.
Wife? Yeah.
But now,
I've got seven, you got
is
nine.
This is this opening statement from Rob Walton indicative of the fact that he may not be a football fan? Listen to this.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell,
Commissioner Goodell.
That's a whole new website. Goodell it.
That's like Bergman's site. Yeah.
Goodell. Now, do you think this guy just has had so much money his whole life that he has no idea who Roger Goodell is?
What does he care?
This guy's a CEO guy, right?
I mean, I don't think that. He just inherited Walton money.
But he must have done something.
Well, Sam Walton created Walmart and then gave the money to all of his kids, including Stan Kroenke's wife.
Yeah, so he's a trust fund baby.
What's that guy's name?
This guy's name is...
the guy that owns, it's Walton.
Rob Walton. Yeah.
So you're saying all he did was inherit money. He's got no other noticeable
skills. Well, he paid $4.6 billion for the Broncos.
Any relation
I don't think he's ever had a job.
Any relation to Bill or Luke?
I don't think so. But he is related to Sam, lucky
randomly.
For him.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, would that concern you?
Would you want that to happen to you, Mace? Would you like to inherit billions, or would you rather work for it?
How about this? I would love to inherit billions and still work.
Oh, yeah, you could do both.
Yeah, that's what I would want.
The great Derek Hall told me a story once that he was at the owners' meetings, and he's walking through the airport with one of the Major League Baseball owners. And the owner says, they're on the same flight, so they're just talking in the airport. And the owner says to Derek, he goes, Derek, there is a coffee place in this airport that is unbelievable. We're going to have to do a little bit of a walk, but you got to try this coffee. It's the best coffee. And Derek's like, great, I love coffee. Let's go. And they walk through a couple of terminals, and they get to the place. He goes, okay, this is it. Derek looks up, and it's a Starbucks. And he looks at the guy and goes, you know, this is a chain. There's one of these half a mile from your house. He goes, no, not like this. This Starbucks is the greatest thing ever. He goes, have you never heard of Starbucks? He goes, yes, in this airport. I've heard of Starbucks.
He was oblivious to all the other Starbucks.
This guy has probably, you know, he saw Stan Kroenke, yep. Who's his brother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
And he said, that looks like fun. That guy owns a football team and a stadium, and I want – call that Roger Goodell and tell him I want
Mr.
in.
Mr. Goodell.
Play it again, Jorge.
Here it is right now.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
Seriously, how have you not at some point heard Roger Goodell's
because he's not
name?
He's not in the football. He's probably in the finance. He's probably traveling the world in his yachts.
Yeah, by the way, he was chairman of the board for Walmart for a long time.
Yeah, so you see. Like, for example, if you weren't a football fan, would you know how to say Tony Dorsett's name? Wouldn't you see it and go, Dorsett?
Wow.
Or wasn't he Dorsett at Pitt?
He's the one that changed it.
Exactly. So if you're not a football fan, you wouldn't know unless you talked to him or you heard about him.
Commissioner Goodell.
You know what? Want to hear a Tony Dorsett story? So my dad's favorite player was Tony Dorsett.
Right.
Loved him at Pitt. Loved him in the NFL. And so I was auditioning for a college football panel show, you know, like
right.
Big Noon Saturday or whatever they're doing. So they're auditioning analysts for me, and the guy that they auditioned was Tony Dorsett. So it was me and Tony Dorsett. And Dorsett, who looks super sharp, he was wearing this kind of eggplant-colored suit, looked really cool, guy, said, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is not what I'm good at. I'm not good at this. I'm like, you're Tony Dorsett. You're my dad's favorite player. You're going to get out there and do that. And he actually came through and did pretty well. I did not get the job because I drew the short straw by having Tony Dorsett as the panelist. But I did coach him through it.
You know
was
who was
good?
No.
You know who was
I think that's why we haven't seen him since.
Two people absolutely horrible at broadcasting.
Okay.
Horrible. And you would think, based on these two guys' careers, that they would have been can't miss.
Yep.
First one was Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson retired. He went to the network, and he wasn't good. And he said, I don't like this. I'm not good at it. And the other one was Sandy Koufax. Mm. Sandy Koufax was given when he retired. You know, Sandy retired young. He retired when he was 32, 33 years old. And NBC gave him the lead analyst job. Mm-hmm. And he got out there, and he had nothing to say.
Wow.
And he just said, I'm out. So, you know, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, sometimes people, even though you're famous, some people don't know how to pronounce you. I'll never forget one night I was in Portland watching late night sports news, and Johnny Unitas had just died.
Right.
And the sports lady came on there. She was a well-known sports lady. She used to follow the Blazers, so she was around sports. And she said, sad news in the NFL today, Hall of Fame quarterback Johnny Unitas just passed away.
Hey, Unitas. Sure.
Unitas.
You know? Well, that's reminiscent. Are we going for the same story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
It's a whole reel, right. By the way.
Okay, so there was a woman who was anchoring at Fox Sports, and they were all over her about knowing that ERA is earned run average. You have to know those letters, 2.13 ERA, right? And so she finally learned how to do ERA and said it the right way. Then she said, Jimmy Connors, the greatest tennis player of his ERA.
Because they had conditioned her to say.
That's great.
Yeah. And they said the same thing when you see the letters, like Mason's got a Dodger hat on, and it says L.A. And Pat LaFontaine, the hockey player, retired 1 year, and it's like the lead story. And she was doing the National. And this girl was beautiful. That's one of the reasons why they gave her the gig. She really looked great on camera. And so they had conditioned her. They said, if you see L.A., that say L.A. That's short for Los Angeles. Don't say La.
Uh-huh.
So sure enough, next night, Pat LaFontaine retires, and she goes, she's reading, she goes, any hockey fan will tell you that one of the New York Islanders' greatest players of all time is Pat L.A. Fontaine.
All right. That works. I like it.
Oh, God. And the guy, I knew the guy, they hired a guy, a sports guy, to be like assigned to her, to produce her. And they told her, look, if she fails, you're fired.
Oh, that is
and
awesome.
He just buried his head on the desk and went, I can't, what am
Pat
I going to?
L.A. Fontaine.
Well, you can go by that.
Yeah, greatest tennis player of his ERA. All right. Oh, you know what we totally forgot? Ireland, why didn't you remind me?
About?
Lie of the day.
Oh, is it me?
Yeah, it's your lie of the day. So we're starting right now.
What are we giving away?
We are giving away
If you figure out today's line of the day, call in at 3:30, get it right, you will join me, Travis, Sliwa, Bergman, Jorge, and Jacob Abrani at a luxury suite Tuesday night at LAFC. So again, pay attention for the lie of the day. Ireland is going to tell that today. Yesterday's lie, by the way, I thought was one of the better lies I've ever had.
Yeah. What was it about?
A totally made-up baseball prospect.
Oh, yeah.
Including
I was surprised that guy got it.
Like a Sid Finch kind of guy?
Yeah, right. Like a Sid Finch kind of guy, exactly.
Well, we were having a conversation
by the
about
way, anybody...
would you have traded – well, who would you have included if you traded for Soto? And Mason said, the guy I would not include – what did you call him?
Bobby Diego.
Bobby Diego. He's 10-1 with a 1.29 ERA.
Wow.
I would not put Bobby Diego in the deal. Bobby Diego was a complete lie. He completely made it
up. I like
up.
The name, though.
Yeah, it's
sounds
a good
like
name.
A pitcher.
Good
yeah.
name.
By the way, anybody tweeted about my jokes and they loved it?
Oh, my God. My timeline is full, Michael. Oh, with praise and love.
Just
and...
call me the Black Fluffy.
All right, we have a new follower.
I love Fluffy.
A new Twitter follower.
Okay.
Greg, you know what his – or Mason, what his name is?
No.
Million Legs Greg.
Million Legs Greg.
Yesterday during Game of Games, Mason
millipede.
Said, how many legs does a millipede have? And Bergman goes, a million. He
what?
Thought an animal had a million yes. legs. And it was the tiebreaker.
It was not
a good guess.
Was it supposed to be a number or something?
How many legs does a millipede have, the average millipede? And Greg said, I'll say a million.
Well, wow. A million.
You know,
it makes sense in my brain.
All right, Hooper's X says, Champagne and Nuts just told the absolute best, worst joke ever on Mason and Ireland.
It's a really good, bad joke.
Yeah, good, bad joke.
It's a really good, bad joke.
This one's actually for you, John. It's about me, but it's for you. The young boy always hurt forever said, I kept thinking you were looking for an Aries and not an heiress.
If she's an Aries and she has a trust fund, she's in.
Right.
Still in.
Okay. Gregory wants
still
to
in.
Marry an Aries. So if you were an Aries. Is it right? It's Aries?
No, Aries.
Oh, Aries. Okay. Coming up next for you, going to spin the wheel of questions, plus why you shouldn't always trust the first expert who comes along. Got an example of that. Michael Thompson hanging out today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right. Wheel of questions time. Here is the question. Michael Thompson hanging out. So... the next thing you drink is the only thing you will drink for the rest of your life. What do you choose to drink?
It's got to be water. I mean, as much
just
as I
straight
love,
up water?
As much as I love champagne and I love beer.
No Camus, no
you can't
nothing.
Survive without water.
Yeah, so just straight up water.
So you could just say other than water. So other than
yeah,
water.
Yeah, if it's other, okay, than, water, other than water, I'm going iced tea.
Yeah.
For me, it would have to, I love champagne so much, but I guess coffee.
Coffee?
I love coffee.
Coffee's gross.
No,
I hate coffee.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, man. It's not like
I
a
hate
good
it.
Cup
I make
of
myself chug a big Trenta cup of coffee every day just to get a little jolt coming into the show, but
I
do not like the taste of it.
Yeah, I love wine. I love champagne. I love beer, but I can't live without coffee. And okay. I only drink like one cup a day.
Really? That's it?
Yeah, one big cup.
So
it.
For you, it would be?
Coffee.
For you,
iced
it would
tea.
Be iced tea. Bergman, what about you? Next thing you drink will be the last thing you ever drink.
Other than water.
I'll go get a
one.
Cup of coffee. I'm with you, Michael. Yeah. I need my coffee. I need two cups of coffee a day, and if I can go a little bit more, that's fine.
Jorge?
Coffee.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody's
yeah.
on coffee. Yeah. So coffee. Here's the truth about coffee. I used to be a real coffee sort of fanatic, and I realized that I just don't like the taste of it at all.
Well, you must have bad coffee.
No, I mean Starbucks at home, Juan makes coffee, brews coffee, all that.
Wow.
Don't like to. And when I'm not
maybe
working,
if you got coffee at that airport where the owner went.
Oh,
the
that's
day,
right.
You know.
What do you put in your coffee? Or what did you put in?
I put in oat milk and stevias.
Well, that's your problem. That's your problem right there.
Don't
you
tell
put,
me what my problem is. Who are you to say what my problem is?
You
got to
put in half and half and sugar in the raw. Oh, it enriches the flavor so much. You got to try it, Mace. Go home tonight, have Julio make you some coffee, and try it.
Yeah, there's no chance.
Find me.
I got the cinnamon in it.
You got any half and half at home? You got any sugar in the raw?
Cinnamon and a little brown sugar, yeah.
Oh, God.
Try it, Mace.
Drink it black.
Not happening.
It's the only way to drink it.
Not happening.
Drinking black,
black.
Bergman?
Yep.
For me, it would be somewhere I've got it. Right there.
Yeah.
This hibiscus tea stuff I drink all the time.
So that's your go-to?
Yeah, no caffeine. No caffeine. That's just straight up herbal. I sweeten it, yeah. It's good. It's good. All right, so there you have it. There's your wheel of questions. Okay, now I'm going to do this thing, and I want you guys to react. I think I'm doing it right. You guys will tell me if I'm doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
Yesterday, thank you. Yesterday, Rick Bucher told this story.
Ben Simmons, they're having a team chat before game four, thinking he's going to play against the Boston Celtics. And from what I'm told, Ben just left the chat. They asked him, are you going to play? Ben left the chat. Like, he didn't even answer the question, just left the chat. And Katie's like, this is what I signed up. Like, this is who I'm playing with?
Ooh, now, I like Rick Bucher, but I heard from Sham Sharma.
Okay, I was just going to play that for you.
He said that's a bunch of bunk, but
here is Sham Sharania.
I got a text from this guy last night, okay, after I put a tweet up.
That's Pat McAfee.
I dabbled into the NBA world, into the rumors world, into the story world on Twitter, and it was a story from Rick
Bucher.
Rick Bucher went on to Colin Cowherd's The Herd yesterday, and he basically, in passing, told a joke, a story that the team had asked Ben Simmons to play in that game five against the Celtics or something like that in the playoffs, game four against the Celtics in the playoffs. And the team, this is not the coach or the GM or anything, the team did that. And Ben Simmons didn't even answer. He just removed himself from the group text.
No. Yikes.
One of the most hilarious things I've ever heard in my life. Now, I was being presented as if this was a real story from a real insider in a position of professionalism as telling the story. Said it as a joke, but told the story as somebody that was insider. Didn't get the full conversation. That's on me. I get a text from Shams, goes, we have to talk about this tomorrow.
Shams,
you're telling me that this awesome, legendary thing happened and it went a little differently? Like, he gave a response like, guys, I'm really hurt, you. And then he left? Or did this whole thing is a big fugace?
Pat, I just said, I just need to be on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say on this is this never happened.
Whoa. Okay. Bucher? You're calling Bucher a liar?
Never happened. And I don't think Ben Simmons actually, I'm gonna do some more.
I'm gonna
give Ben Simmons some love here. From everything I've been told, he is doing more on the floor. He's looking good. I think the Nets have high expectations for Ben Simmons next year. You talk about a guy, three-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA guy. I think that there are high expectations for Ben Simmons. He's supposed to be ready for training camp here in a month and a half, and so he's doing more and more on the court.
Okay, so the point of that is, do we believe every insider report? Because obviously there was one insider who said, and now maybe he was joking, I don't know, that Ben Simmons exited the group chat, and then Sham says never happened. Why do we trust these guys?
Because they could make up anything when it's anonymous. I've been trying to tell you that. I can say anything and tell you it's anonymous. I got it from an anonymous source. I could be completely making it up. How are you going to prove I'm wrong or right?
Well, why do you believe Shams? He's dealing with anonymous sources, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it sounds like he's dealing directly with Ben Simmons.
Or Ben Simmons or his people. Now, here's the thing. You can throw around, like, we're not newsbreakers here. You're never going to get inside information from me, at least. John won Informative Host of the Year at the Mandy Awards, but I'm just me. So you're never going to get anything, any takeaway from me in terms of what I think is going to happen or what insiders are telling me. But you tend to put your faith in guys who say, here's what happened. And in this case, it just didn't happen.
Somebody probably told Bucher it happened.
And the ramifications are everybody heard that story yesterday, and it reflects badly on Ben Simmons. And people are going to hear that story more than they hear what Shams said. Do you agree with that, Ireland?
Yeah, once the story's out there, it's very hard to put the genie back in the bottle. But you make
especially if it's hard of hearing.
But you make a good point. Every insider who's throwing stuff on a wall to see what sticks is not always correct.
Right.
You've got to assume that unless
I'll take Woj and Shams to the bank.
Yeah, they seem to be really correct.
What happens if they disagree on a story?
Are there instances of that?
Sure.
There are.
Yeah, like who?
I'm an ESPN guy. I take
it depends who their source is.
Sure.
Really.
You can often tell the person's source by the way the story gets reported, right? Because clearly that was somebody on Team Simmons or Camp Ben that was telling Shams to counterattack that particular story.
Like how do we know Kevin Durant told Joe Tsai, the owner, fire the GM and the coach? How do we know that Kevin Durant said that? What's going on up there.
It's interesting. If Michael, here's one thing, and maybe I shouldn't assume this, but Durant and his business partner, Rich Kleiman, own a media company. Mm-hmm. there have been no rebuttals to these reports at all. Durant's very active on Twitter. Yeah. Yesterday, Mason had a story where he took some guy down on Twitter just because he could. And he's at every chance to refute it.
That's true. Good point.
And he hasn't refuted.
He has
so
not.
Does that mean we can assume it's true? Or is that a leap too far?
I think we can assume it's true. I think there's enough there.
I know if somebody came out and if I
did Joe
if I privately said
formally?
I don't want to work with Greg Bergman or Amanda Brown, either fire them or fire me or trade me, and then the next day I came out and said nothing.
You would assume that you did say
right,
that.
Right.
Because you didn't correct the record.
Yeah, I would say, look, I'm friends with Greg and Amanda. I never said that. That's ridiculous. He didn't do that.
Right.
But then again, he hasn't talked at all. Durant hasn't talked at all. So should I just assume he's never going to talk and we should wait until he does? I don't know.
Yeah. I was hanging out in the Bahamas with Kyrie's father, Dedrick.
Oh, yeah?
What does he think is going to happen?
Ooh, I'll tell you off the air.
All right, no. We will talk a little Kyrie next, not giving away.
And Shams MT had source. Some stuff to say about Kyrie,
and
too.
Exactly. Shams has some Kyrie stuff we got coming back next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Rick Butcher.